You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc, and this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. And we are delighted to start off our new year with our special guests who are joining us for the first time on the podcast. They've talked to us before in another setting in our Facebook group. And so I am just beyond thrilled because your story is just so wonderful. And I just can't wait to hear the even more amazing things than you shared with me last time about where your life is at right now. So without further ado, let me read your bios to do a brief introduction, and then let's get into it. So we have Cameron, who is with us, who is a high school student whose love of performing shines through in her involvement in dance team, band, acting, and speech. A girl after my own heart. I was a dancer too. And then Liz is a dyslexia specialist who, along with her husband, Jeremy, stays busy raising their family of four kids, one daughter and three sons, and a golden retriever. Definitely can't leave out the dogs. Dogs are
he's as much work, the kids.
Yeah. And you know what? You might hear that all of the dogs join us on this podcast too. They show up sometimes. So Cameron and Liz, we are thrilled to have you guys join us. And I can't wait to hear where you're at and to share your story and your experience with our community.
Yeah, we're happy to be here.
Well, let's go ahead and dive right in. I would love to hear a little bit about your story, kind of how PAN showed up in your life and how things unfolded.
So I was diagnosed with tics and anxiety when I was only 4 years old. And through that time I was homeschooled and we got them pretty managed. It was in a pretty good spot. And then we moved and I started a new school.
And COVID hit.
And then COVID hit. So then a year later in seventh grade, I had this massive flare up of just tics, anxiety, even OCD showed up a bit, depression, just all these things hit me. I had stuff going on with my brain, like I would black out and was unresponsive. I had muscle problems, like there's days where I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk, I was stuttering. I had a complete personality change almost. And
it came on super sudden. We were like within 30 minutes she was like this, and then like a switch just flipped. And all of it just hit at once. So yeah. Super scary.
We went to multiple doctors. We went try to figure it out. We were told Tourette syndrome because that was the big main thing. And we knew I had tics, but they had never been that bad. We were also told FND, functional neurological disorder. Mm-hmm. And then the last, we kind of found pandas. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was definitely a journey, but
yeah.
So when it hit, it was really like not even overnight, it was over hour, you said, right? And it just like all showed up all at once and just stayed.
Yeah, I just watched her change before my eyes. All of a sudden she was having these vocal tics. She had never had a vocal tic, and she started hitting herself and making noises, and it just changed like that super, super fast. And then by the next day, she wasn't walking, couldn't talk, couldn't get her up off the floor. She'd fall over backwards. And so it just progressed really fast. But yeah, it was from like zero to 100 in about 30 minutes.
Did you guys ever figure out if there was like a known, an exposure to something?
So her strep titers were high. Her brothers had strep like the weeks before. She had no symptoms of it. And that's kind of the only thing that we could grasp onto. The pandas thing, actually, when she was four, and her tics kind of came out of nowhere then too. And they were big arm movements. She out of nowhere. And so our doctor then said, well, I've heard of this thing called pandas. It can be caused by strep, but then they're like, oh, she doesn't have strep. It's not that, but it always been in the back of my mind. And we went to all these specialists who were just giving her these big diagnoses. And then, just a local small town doctor said it might be pandas. Like actually she sounds like classic pandas. And so we went down that route from there. So
I know that there's so many of us that our kids kind of slowly trickle into it, or at least there's the overnight and we have a little bit of symptoms show up. I can't imagine what it must have been like for that like instant. And I'm curious to know like what you guys were thinking, what was that like that with that super abrupt change? That's a lot to process really quickly, other than that, you know, the slow onset that a lot of us kind of go through.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't remember a lot of it. I feel like I definitely blocked out a lot of that because of how like traumatic it was. I just remember thinking like I was going crazy. Like this was how, like this was the end of me. Like I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, it was super scary. And, you know, we were told when she was diagnosed with tics at 4 that she'll probably have Tourette's syndrome later on, maybe, you know. So I just thought, well, when it started, like, oh, well, this is it. Okay, now here Tourette's syndrome is, you know, it just appeared really fast and really suddenly. So we thought that at first, but then as it progressed into all the other things, we're like, it's not, it's got to be something else.
So in that period, so what, you had tics when you were 4, you said you got them relatively under control. So were you experiencing any tics before the onset, and what did you do to quote unquote get them under control?
So, I was homeschooled in elementary mainly because of my anxiety and tics. And
well, she wasn't homeschooled until second grade because kindergarten and first grade, she was having so much anxiety and tics at school, just trying to be the fastest reader. And we were seeing a counselor who said, well, to stop her tics, if she has them, she needs to stop right away. So her teacher needs to be documenting them. And we realized she was trying to leave the classroom to go do her tics. And it turned into this whole thing where we were trying to stop her. And it just felt so cruel because she couldn't control it. And she was to the point of trying to hide it. And we did end up homeschooling, and that took away a lot of that stressor. And I think that helped a lot too. So we lost the counselor too. Yeah.
So it wasn't like you guys used any medications or any treatments. It was just more like managing it at home.
It just kind of died down. Yeah. By the time she was, so I started in like preschool. By the time she was in second, third grade, no one would even know that she had tics. Yeah. She knew, but they were so teeny tiny in her hands is all they were. And so no one else knew.
And after we moved in the summer before sixth grade year, I went back to public school. And with all that stress and everything, we kind of started to see them pop back up.
They were coming back a little bit.
We weren't really like thinking much of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So
one of the things that can happen with PANS and PANDAS is that you might forget after like specific flares, and then also like you might sort of block things because of the trauma. But at the time, a lot of people are really aware of what they're experiencing. Do you remember having that awareness of like, this is happening to me and I can't control this?
Oh yeah, definitely. There were moments where I was just like, it's so hard to describe. I mean,
And it's a hard thing to describe, especially when you can't remember it because of how hard it really was. And it's just, you know, this is again why I'm so grateful that you guys are willing to come and talk about this, because this is generally, it's basically in your past, and you're willing to come here and talk to us and bring up stuff from the past in an effort to share so that more people have awareness about what this is like, what the actual experience of it is like for kids, and how you guys got to a place of recovery. So I just, you know, I have to thank you again for the fact that you're willing to come here and talk to us and let us drag some of these things up. So let's move on to other parts of like things related to your journey. We're curious how PANS has impacted things with you with school. I mean, you've already talked a bit about this, that you changed from public school to homeschool. Were there any other things that that were impacted with school?
Yeah. So in seventh grade, when I first had my big, when everything happened, my big first big flare, I missed a lot of school. I didn't go back to school. I mean, physically couldn't, because I had a hard time talking, walking, whatever.
And anxiety was just through the roof, and OCD too. Yeah.
And so, yeah, in seventh grade, I missed a lot of school. And then starting to go back to school, I would only go half days. Eventually, by like the end of seventh grade, I was able to go back to school, but it was still very like on and off. And then in eighth grade, I went to school a lot more, but there were still some weeks where I couldn't go or days where I could only go half. And it's gotten a lot better since.
She's in 10th grade now for reference. Yeah.
It's a while ago.
Yeah. Also, like, you have trouble with short-term memory when you're in a flare. Mm-hmm. So that can impact it. Trouble just concentrating too. Yeah. But she's maintained all A's. She gets really good grades.
Oh.
She does have a 504 plan. So when she's in a flare, you know, we have to give her some accommodations. But as she's healed, it's become less and less and less. So it's, yeah, she's doing really, really good.
Yeah.
Awesome. What about as far as your friendships go? How did PANS affect your friendships throughout all of that?
Well, I have a few friends. First of all, start with none of my friends knew. Even back when in elementary, we kept the ticks thing very, very hidden, and then moving, no one knew. So it was kind of this weird thing of going back and being like, hey, I've got this thing now. Definitely a few friendships changed. I feel like there's quite a few friendships that people were weirded out or just kind of didn't know how to handle it. And so I'm not necessarily friends with those people anymore.
Good.
I do have a couple of friends, two of my closest friends then, and they're still two of my closest friends now, who stuck with me through all of it. And now that I'm in high school, I have a really good group of friends that all love and support me and don't care about it. So it's really good.
Yeah, it was.
I think it's good that you were able to move on from those people who didn't love and accept you or whatever, you know. So like, I know it's hard to lose friends, and it's so hard when you lose friends for something that's like, I didn't do this. This is happening to me. Right. This isn't something I did. And so I didn't
who
mean
she to is too.
Yeah.
You
know, like,
it shouldn't define her, you know? Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm so grateful that those people are just in your past, and I hope that you see how wonderful it is to have the opportunity to let people show you who they are, so you can say, okay, you're not the person to be around me.
Mm-hmm. And also, this, I think it's super cool, like what you're doing right now, because all of us moms and dads that are going through this, we have this major drive and desire for the world to understand what our children are going through, and how amazing it is that you are putting words to things that we can't even necessarily explain. So you are part of what is going to educate more people about PANS. Your experience with your friends and school and all of this stuff is going to help other families understand what's going on. So you're part of this, what I feel like is a world-changing thing, where we're bringing everyone into PANS and helping them understand it. So high five to you.
She's been amazing at the beginning, but you couldn't hide it either. And so right away, she wrote this whole letter to her whole class, her whole grade, and had all the teachers read it in their homerooms and stuff, because it was kind of like, when I come back, I'm different than I was when you saw me a few weeks ago, and I can't control this, but I'm still the same person inside. And with PANS, you can't always hide it. And so you just have to kind of embrace it. And she's done a really good job of doing that and just advocating for herself. Not that it's not hard all the time, but she's done a really good job of that.
And that's just so brave that you took that initiative, and that you said, like, I'm like, you made yourself vulnerable from the very beginning and like took control really of a situation that you had very little control over. You said, this is something I can control, and I'm going to do something about it. And that's so mature and honorable. And I wish that we all could take a lesson from you there, every human, period, that like, control the things you can control, accept the things that you can't, and we're going to work through them together. I'm curious, this is just like throwing a little bit of a curveball to you here, but I'm curious if there was anything that your friends that did that were really supportive of you and that you're still friends with, if there's anything they did that really helped you, just because I'm certain that this podcast that we're recording right now, I'm certain that people are going to listen to this and they are going to see a friend that they can help. And so they might be wanting to know, what can I do to help my friend who's struggling with this? So what helped?
Honestly, my friends just treated me the same. They never looked at me differently. They never really, I had one friend and he was super interested into all of it. And he ended up like researching all about pans and pandas. And so then we would have these discussions all about it because he wanted to understand what I was going through. And that was really awesome. And then I remember when I very first started having lots and lots of tics, and they were loud and they were expressive, and I would be on FaceTime calls with my friends, and whenever I would do it, I just always felt the need to apologize because felt like I was being disruptive. You know, I was still like self-conscious of it, and they'd always tell me, "Don't apologize. You can't help it. It's who you don't apologize." And I think that's one thing that really helped, because you need people, because there's people out there who are like, "Ooh, stop," like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like they accepted you, and also didn't treat you as if you were really any different. Like they just, you know, like they're like, "This is our Cameron. This is the same person we knew before she had this happen to her. Why would we treat her any differently?" That's amazing.
Got some pretty awesome friends.
That sounds like
cool. That's a finding out the good friends. What about how did y'all come about finding homeopathy? How did you get to homeopathy?
Out of desperation, probably. Just in Facebook groups, and I was in those functional neurological disorder groups and the Tourette syndrome groups, and going, "What do I do?" And this doctor's saying this, but that's an opposite treatment for that, and I don't know what to do. And a few people just said, "Join this group." And it was this homeopathy group. And so it just went from there, and it just felt right, because I've always been a little more like natural minded, and we'd used homeopathy in other cases. And so it just felt like there was no risk either. It's not going to hurt her, so we're going to try it. And she was put on, after her really big flare, she was put on a lot of different medicine, and every doctor we went to put her on something different, and they all had horrible side effects. And so, you know, I was doing my best even at that point to like wean her off some of them, but it was really nice to find something that's not going to harm her anymore. So,
So homeopathy, I mean, you guys had a little bit of experience with it beforehand, so maybe it wasn't as hard of an adjustment for you.
Yeah.
But you know, homeopathy is a very different approach to healing and health, and the appointments are very different. What did you think of it when you first got started?
Found it a little strange at first, because it's like, you know, it comes in a little brown tube, and it's like little pellets. And I'm like, "Phosphorus, isn't that like, that's not like, it was, I don't know." But then like you taste them and like, it's like sweet. And so it was almost like magic, if that makes sense. Cause I had been taking all these other medicines and none of them were helping. And I was having all these terrible side effects. And then you get this little thing in the mail and you take a couple. And then all of a sudden you feel better. And It changed everything.
She's a pretty quick responder. So yeah, she can tell pretty quick. Yeah. So for me, I was like, I was just putting all my hope in this, you know, but the appointments themselves are always a little bit therapeutic, even if I just am able to get out what's going on. And not even me at this point, she's doing it, but just to hear a doctor, you know, we saw so many doctors that were just like, "Oh no, what's going on with her? Oh, that's crazy. That's scary." And our doctor is just like, "Oh, okay." You know, and even to the point where I've been there and you're going to be fine on the other side of this. And so it's just a whole different feeling altogether. And now looking back when we have the appointments and to be able to go through and go, "Nope, nope, 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 none of those symptoms, you know, maybe a little bit of this one and a little bit of this one," and just to see how far she's come. Cause sometimes when you do have a flare, it gets scary again. It feels scary. But to realize how far she's come. So I actually always like the appointments, cause I feel like
they just give us a little bit of that glimmer of hope again. So
can you share with us a little bit about your journey and like what your healing journey has been like and like what has changed and shifted for you?
So many things. First off, like I've got my, I don't know how to explain it, but like I'm no longer weak. Like I can now walk normally. Sure, you know, mm-hmm. you have your bad days, but I haven't had a bad day in like a year, like walking wise. Mm-hmm. I can like talk, I can think.
Those are big things.
Yeah.
Big things.
My tics have increased so much.
Decreased
so much. Like, I mean, there's kids at school that I'm sure don't even know.
No, I don't even notice them. You'll say, yeah, I've been having them a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and I just keep getting better.
Tell them after your first dose and you weren't even going to school full time.
After my very first dose, that's why I call it magic, because it's crazy. I wasn't going to school full time, and our school, my grade was going on a trip to a zoo 3 hours away. And I really wanted to go, because it's like tradition. And so I took my first dose, and the next day
I think it was a couple days later,
I was able to go up to a full day trip 3 hours away, and I had like not left your side
mm-hmm.
until then.
Yep.
And you went without your mom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just giving her life back, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was really, it sounds like it was really, you're a quick responder. So you knew very quickly that you were doing better and you felt a lot better. But it's not, as you said, there's still flares. There's been a lot of ups and downs in that healing journey. So, you know, as we've talked about and shared on the podcast, which like generally 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back, another 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back, sometimes 5 or 6 steps forward and sometimes 8 or 9 steps back. Mm-hmm. Was that challenging for you, especially like being a younger person and getting parts of your life back and then like seeing things start to slip again? Was that hard for you and how did you handle that?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, I'm really good and I'm able to go to school full time and I'm able to do all my extracurricular activities. And then the next day I can't even get out of bed. And it's really sometimes like heartbreaking, almost like I was doing so well. Why am I doing bad again? But I just have to remind myself, like, this is just part of the healing process. And I'm so much better than I was. Like how a flare can look like just like a day instead of weeks and weeks.
Oh, that's amazing.
What about, what do you love the most about homeopathy and what do you hate the most about homeopathy?
Ooh, I don't know. It's also partially me because I'm a fast responder. And so I like how quick of a relief it is. They taste really good too compared to like other medicines, and they're easy to take because you just put them under your tongue and that's all it is. With other medicines, mm-hmm. you have to take all these chunky pills that don't taste good. And so that's really nice.
You had said too before that you knew that if you had a flare, something was backsliding, you knew you could just make an adjustment and it would get better.
Yeah.
And so you're not stuck in this, just increasing doses of medicine or whatever, or just waiting it out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But I dislike probably how long sometimes it takes to come in the mail, like waiting for
it. We live in the middle of nowhere too.
Yeah,
so that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
What about you, Liz? I'm curious what you loved and what you hated the most as a mom.
Well, and I've seen it. We have another child on homeopathy as well with some mild signs of PANS, a whole totally different situation. And so I can see it from both perspectives too, with the quick responder and then the one that's maybe not, doesn't seem to be responding so much too. So that can be a little frustrating too. It's not working. I think what I love about it though, is just like I said before, it gives you that hope back. We've kind of settled into this routine when we see a flare up, and the kids are both really good about letting me know like, hey, this has been bad for a couple days now. And so we just contacted the doctor and we're able to make an adjustment. And it's just so nice to know that they're going to continuously get better and they're going to continuously heal. What I hate about it is I still doubt it sometimes because it still seems like it shouldn't work or it shouldn't work this good. Or, you know, if we have to change remedies and I really don't want to because this was working really good, you know, so there's a little bit, it's obviously out of our control. And so that's what I dislike. I don't really hate anything about it, but it's just a whole new thing. You know, it's just totally different than anything you're used to probably. So
yeah, I'll tell you, Jody and I can relate to you because I'm still a skeptic about it, like a decade and a half later, in spite of how much it's done for me and how much it's done for the thousands of people that we've worked with. Cameron, it sounds like phosphorus was your first remedy. It was my first remedy too. It was that, like, I was like, oh, okay, maybe there's something to this, but I still don't understand it. And I still like question whether, it could possibly work. And Jody and I have definitely had conversations about having to leave remedies when they, they're no longer working.
It was hard to leave phosphorus for sure.
I was so afraid because I was on phosphorus for like 13 or 14 months. And I was so afraid, like what happens when I need to change.
Yeah.
It was hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cameron, I love that you get to, that you've gotten to be a part of your own healing. Like, I love that you're able to communicate with your mom about it and you're able to really be on that team and be part of what is getting you better. And I, even more than that, I love the fact that you, like you got hope from homeopathy, that you were able to find hope and probably the fear you were in and the stress that you were having and all of those things. At the same time, you were able to find little bits and pieces of hope with homeopathy. That's awesome. I love that. So explain to us what life is like now, since you've been through some healing, you're doing significantly better. What is, you know, what are some of your major wins that you've been through? What does life look like for you now?
It's definitely different. I'm able to drive now, where in seventh grade, we thought I'd never, ever, ever be able to drive.
You couldn't walk and now you're driving.
Yeah.
I'm driving.
Yeah. Seriously. That's such a huge win because my husband and I would look at each other and go, is she ever going to be independent? Honestly, is she going to be able to do these big things without us? And so when she took driver's ed, I was scared to death. And she's like, Mom, I've got this. And that is one thing homeopathy has given us too. It's given her this confidence where I'm still a little scared. And I've learned I just have to trust her. But yeah, she's driving.
Yeah.
What else?
I went to New York this summer for an entire week without you. It was a school trip.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
That's fun.
I never thought I'd be able to do that because, you know, and that week I had to manage myself and listen to my body when I had to take my medicine and that sort of thing. That's another thing. But yeah, I'm a lead in the one act play where in seventh grade, they cast me on ensemble because they were scared I would like tick on stage or I'd have a medical thing because I was still and that's such a big flair. And now I have a main role in our show this year. Not a big thing.
Yeah, she's just busy. I mean, school gets in the way of all of her activities, basically, is what she tells me. But yeah, dance team and band and all the clubs she can be in. And she's doing it all and doing really well.
You are not wasting any time of life that's been given back to you. And I love that. Like, you are grabbing life by the horns and you're just dragging it around. You're just like, come on, here's what we're going to do.
Pretty much. Yeah. There's a lot of days I'm like, you don't have to join everything. You don't have to be in everything you're in either, you know, but Mom, I got this. So, okay.
Awesome. Liz, I know personally, because I'm a mom, but I want to hear from you in your words, how life is different for you, for your family, what experiencing watching Cameron heal has where it's gotten you.
It's just given us this peace and almost this reassurance that we can fall back into, that things will be okay. And there will be flares and there will be, as a mom, it's hard when she flares, even now, even though she's doing so, so good. When she has a bad day, my mind, you know, I start going, well, is this it? You know, not is this it, but is now what? You know, everything's going to fall apart. But it's just given us this reassurance that it's going to be okay. We can make adjustments. She's going to pull through it. And one thing I've learned with homeopathy too is you can wait it out because it's okay. Everybody has a bad day. You might have two bad days and it doesn't mean it's the end of the world, where originally, you know, one bad day and I'm emailing the doctor right away and they'd say, wait, you know, just give it a little more time. And so that's been really good, where I can just step back and observe a little bit more and just kind of let things work themselves out and let her body heal itself. So it's just given us this peace and like reassurance that it's going to be okay. And another thing I thought of too, that she, when she was in, when it was bad and she was just in such a dark place too, and she lost her faith in God and everything. And that had always been so important. And it's like, everything just came back. I got my girl back. You know, she's got her faith back. She's got her personality back, her sense of humor, like everything is coming back. And so, and for a while, like we felt like we'd lost her and we didn't know what we would get back. And so it's just a whole new world. And it's not, there's not as much to be scared of, because you know, that you can come out the other side. So
I have to ask, because I'm sure that there's at least one listener that cued in on lots of different doctors, new medication, every visit, every time there's something else and lots of side effects. So I have to ask, where are you at with medications now? Have you been able to like stop any of them?
Yeah, she's not on anything. An allergy pill.
So allergy pills, yeah. like a magnesium.
We're working on the allergy still, a magnesium. Yep. Nope. She's doing great. Some of it we had to take her off really fast, faster than you probably should, because the side effects were so scary, so bad. When we realized that was hitting others, we were able to wean her off pretty quickly after starting homeopathy. So, and I was very pushy for it too, because I didn't like being on it. So, yeah. I also know with kids like her, and she's always been so sensitive. And then I joined this group of all these kids with PANS, and I'm like, that's Cameron, you know, so sensitive, would just have these big reactions to everything in her world, big reactions. Yeah. And so, yeah, it made sense with the medications, but yeah, no medications anymore. And just
fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great feeling.
It is. It's a lot less work for you too.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yes.
Releases a little bit of a load off your shoulders.
For sure. Yeah.
Cameron, what advice would you offer to a kid that was recent, or a young adult that was recently diagnosed with PANS?
It'll get better. It may look like the end of the world right now. And it feels like the end of the world. But it will get better. You will progressively get to where you were before. Just takes patience and time and faith, and yeah.
Yep. And what do you think parents about PANS?
Just patience. Because yeah. Your kid's going through a lot right now, so much that it's so hard to explain or to like express what you feel like in the inside, and to just be patient with them through it, because it's hard.
Yeah. Other than patience, I'm always curious, because as PANS moms and dads, we're always trying to figure out how to do this, because there's no rules. There's everything with PANS is different. You just have to live life differently. And so we're always trying to do our best to help our children, and we're not really sure what we're doing. Other than having patience, is there anything in particular that your mom did that was helpful to you or more supportive? Anything that she did to just kind of help you get it through PANS, through homeopathy, all the things?
Some of the big things is just kind of just being by my side and listening to me, listening to my feelings, listening to how I feel, and just helping me when I need it, holding me, that sort of thing. Just kind of.
Well, it sounds like when you described all of the things that have been through like your entire journey, it sounds like what your mom did a lot for you was just see you as you were and not necessarily treat what you were experiencing as something to be like suppressed or squashed. You know, like you, there wasn't, you know, you didn't start something to like try and treat the tics. You found a way that you felt better and didn't feel as compelled to do them. So what I'm hearing a lot of is being there for you, supporting you, not necessarily seeing this as like a problem to be managed, but like a way to work with you to find a solution for what you needed. Would you agree that that's pretty accurate for what happened?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think a big part of it too is realizing that it was out of her control, because mm-hmm. PANS is crazy and it's scary. And are they exaggerating? Are they faking? Are they, is it really that bad? And so it took me a long time to realize that it's totally out of her control. And so to look at it from that direction and really changed my perspective, but I didn't do it right away. It took a while. So she had to be patient with me too.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. It goes both ways because it is so hard to tell, especially when something hits really hard when you're 12, right? Because there's a whole lot going on when you're 12.
Right.
And really make parents question what's really happening. So that's a really excellent point that patience goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Liz and Cameron, I am so glad that you guys were able to join us today. I'm curious, do you have any final words to anyone that might be listening, any PANS kiddos, any moms or dads that are trying to navigate it themselves? Any advice?
It'll get better. Just, yeah, you got this.
You've got this. I think that's exactly where we should end today, is with you've got this. And Cameron, I cannot wait to see all of the things that you are going to do in this world, because clearly there is nothing that is stopping you. I honestly see a lot of you in me and me in you. I see there's no surprise that we both started our homeopathy journey on the same remedy. So like I said, I'm just thrilled to see what the world has in store for you, and more so what you have in store for the world. So I hope that you'll stay in touch and keep us updated on how you're doing and thriving, especially as you get more and more independence, because it's coming so soon. And I just can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait to see. Well, thank you guys so much for your generosity and your time and coming to share your story and your vulnerability and sharing your experience with us. It really does make a huge difference to parents and to kids to be able to see and what somebody has been through and to see themselves in it. So we're so grateful that you were willing to go back into some of the harder times and bring them to us today, and to continue the conversation, just to make sure that we've got as much awareness about PANS and PANDAS and the opportunities for healing that there really are, in lots of different modalities, but especially with homeopathy. So thank you so much. All right. Take care, everybody. Bye.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.